From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. For some Mormons, there's a lot riding on this presidential campaign. Not about whether Mitt Romney will be the first LDS president, but what it reveals about how the rest of the country thinks about the faith. And there's a question raised by a new documentary. Is it fair for Mitt Romney to be the face of the faith? Or as the scholar Joanna Brooks asks in the film, what is the big question people want Romney to answer?
What is the big test he's supposed to pass to show that he could serve as an effective president? He's the wrong guy to be asking to explain Mormonism.
Today in the program, we're live at the Hinckley Institute of Politics talking about the issues in the documentary film. It's called The Religious Test. Join us after the news. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. There's a new documentary film that explores Mormonism in the era of Mitt Romney, what Romney's run for president has meant for people within the faith, but also how it's affected the impressions of those outside. There's a scholar in the film who says early on that it's not really fair for Romney to have to live up to this burden of explaining Mormonism to the rest of the world, but like it or not, he is the face right now that probably first comes up when you hear the word Mormon these days. Today in the program, we're live in the caucus room of the Hinckley Institute of Politics, the University of Utah, and we're profiling the film. Also, we're working through some of the questions it asks, like, are Americans ready for a Mormon president? Why or why not? The film is called The Religious Test. We invite you to join the conversation. I'm afraid we don't have the ability to take calls today, though we can get to your questions from the audience here. We can read your emails. Our email address is radiowest@kuer.org. And if you do want to call in and give a question to our producer, we can pass that along as well. The filmmaker Trevor Hill is with us. He directed and produced the documentary film, and he's joining us here. And Trevor Hill, welcome to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Kirk Jowers is with us, director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics here at the University of Utah. And Kirk Jowers, welcome.
Thanks, Doug.
Or I shouldn't say welcome to you. Thanks for having us, I guess I should say. Matthew Bowman is also with us. He's a visiting assistant professor of religion at Hampton Sydney College, the author of the book The Mormon People, The Making of an American Faith. He's joining us today by phone from Lexington, Virginia. And Matthew Bowman, welcome to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We should say that both Matthew Bowman and Kirk Jowers appear in the documentary, which they're going to be screening at the Hinckley Institute immediately following the broadcast today. Trevor Hill, I wanted to start with you. Talk a little bit about what you were trying to figure out with the documentary. I mean, what got you started, first of all, I suppose, and were you thinking of one essential question, one essential point you wanted to get at?
That's a good point, because the reasons why we're making this film has evolved as a lot of dramatic events have unfolded, right? So first, what happened is over a year ago, before Romney was even, you know, even deep in the process of getting the nominee, a friend sent me a poll, the Gallup poll information that said that 1 in 5 Americans would not vote for a Mormon. That just caught me by surprise. And so that my instinct or my reaction was that, oh no, here we go again, you know, a repeat of 2008 and the media, the barrage that we had then. And so a lot of feelings.
How did you interpret that? So in 2008, you thought that didn't work very well.
I just figured it was going to be another media circus and that it wasn't properly addressed then, and there was backlash from Proposition 8. So I just, a lot of feelings flooded, and I became immediately committed to making this film. I didn't know what the film would be, because I'd investigated a lot of the issues, and not being a Mormon expert and not being a political expert, it was more of a commitment to do this. And so we got with a group of film producers in Salt Lake City, and we represented a politically diverse body, a microcosm, rather, of what could be considered a growing celebration of political diversity in the Mormon community. And with that, a divide on social issues and some. So there's a lot of, you know, conversation and a lot of maybe a little bit of conflict started to grow there within ourselves. So the film became a way for us to self-manage these issues, these things that are being said in the media. And what I mean by self-manage is that, well, the church isn't talking about it, and we're used to sort of top-down instruction, and Romney's not talking about it a whole lot.
Yeah.
And so how are we to, as members of the church, sort of address this? Yeah, there are some great articles, but what we wanted to do is to sort of create one cogent piece where people could go and get some really good information to start thinking about this, start having dialogues within the faith and also interfaith. And so that's the second point, was it became like, okay, what does this mean for other faiths? And what does this mean for other people and their perception of us? And obviously there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of sensationalized information. And so how do we give them a piece that's not, say, similar to the other documentaries that have been produced this year, such as the pieces by BBC or Al Jazeera, which are more investigative journalism. And we wanted to create something that was sort of, well, fair and balanced and sort of constructive argument. And then how do we make this translatable to not just the Mormon faith, but to Muslims and atheists even, who are even removed from this sort of what I'd call justice in this presidential political process. And then the last part of that is, again, a constitutional argument. The religious test directly references Article 6 of the Constitution, and our suggestion is that there is a religious test. Clearly not, I've got a better understanding of Article 6 and how it relates to the First Amendment, but should, as Senator Lieberman mentions in the film, is should the best laws of this land become, integrated or become an ethic of society? And that's really the question of this film overarching.
So did one particular question come up from time to time? I mean, it seems like there's this, you seem to be getting at what's wrong with Mormons? Why is it that, that seems to be a question that you deal with. It's not the only one. I mean, you deal with other stuff, but that does seem to be one that comes up and you sort of get at in the film. Why wouldn't they?
Well, there is like some contradiction there, right? So like, the government recruits heavily from BYU because of the perceived and benefits of Mormon values, right? The benefits of sort of this disciplined, structured life and the values that come with honesty, integrity, whatever. So there seems to be a really strong relationship between Mormonism and government and government participation. And at the same time, with this one question, a president becomes involved, and then it sort of, you lose all of that. All of it becomes dissolved into this, I would call it, again, political circus, which is more of I think a problem with political campaigning today is more than anything. It's like, how could these arguments be thrown around so recklessly in the media? I think it's improving, but it's not so much what is wrong with Mormonism, although a lot of those are legitimate when they translate into policy, but a lot of it is sort of, I would say, just bias.
I want to get into that as we go. I mean, you describe in the film, the film has been described, you describe it as nonpartisan, certainly doesn't take a side. So while it doesn't have an agenda, it does seem to have a point of view, though, and I'm wondering, describe your interest in all of this. I mean, you're LDS. Do you talk about the fact that you might or might not be a Mitt Romney supporter when you talk about the film?
Well, certainly I've been criticized for showing Romney in a positive light. I was committed to make it a positive film. So I was not critiquing Obama. I was not critiquing anybody in the process.
Right.
So in that light, it's unfamiliar to people because they're used to seeing documentaries that are negative, right? I mean, who makes a positive documentary, right? And so right there, you I get criticism, but it's easily diffused in the sense when you look at the body of people that were involved in the film, most of them were Mormon, but we certainly reached out to gay Christian pastors and atheist groups and
evangelicals.
And even the Mormon professors, the larger percentage of them were actually liberals. So when you look at the film, if you don't get that it's, if you wonder where's the criticism, it's because this is a universal argument that is, that concerns everybody. It certainly concerns Obama in the same way. I think if I made the same film saying, like, look how unfair it is that, that Islamophobia is used as an argument or a wedge to, fear tactics, et cetera, that it's the same argument could be made for Obama as well.
There is a question that came via email that I wanted to ask you directly from JD, who lives in Moab. He says, was this Was this a marketing firm that was created solely for the Romney campaign? Genesis Media Works. Was this created for the Romney campaign? Because he says he's saying that it was in some way related to some of Mitt Romney's business associates. Will you clear that up for us?
So
what's the connection between you and Mitt
Romney?
There's
no connection whatsoever. I mean, there. In fact, we would have liked to have gotten involved in with any political part. No, I wouldn't say that. We would like to have gotten involved in the extent that we could interview them to talk to Mitt Romney and ask him about this. Right?
He wouldn't talk.
So,
to you?
What's that?
He wouldn't talk to you.
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we couldn't even get. You know, in this sphere.
Yeah.
So
this is tough for him, right? I mean, that seems to reveal something in of itself.
Right. I think he's being smart about it. I think if you look at the trend of politics, you have to sort of adopt this universal Christianity, this sort of non-theological belief system, focus on the values, focus on the families. Mm-hmm. That's what he's done. I think he's smart to do so. It was frustrating for me.
Yeah,
because I really wanted to meet him. I wanted to talk to him about this. I would have liked to meet Obama. I tried to, you know, we reached out to President Bush, who had an interview with us. So it wasn't something that we really wanted to get all points. And so I think he's done, you know, I want to say a good job of creating a media bubble, not just for me, but for a lot of other people that I interviewed that were trying to get to Romney and ask him these same questions. So our involvement with them is nil. It was self-funded. We funded this on Kickstarter. I funded a large portion. We have independent investors who actually aren't Republican. So there wasn't any political agenda whatsoever. I get that it could be perceived that way. But again, like, you look at this and you say, okay, the GOP doesn't want to talk about Mormonism, right? The Mormon Church doesn't want to talk about Mormonism. And that's put us in a pickle in the sense that, okay, there's got to be some sort of economics behind a film, because if there's no economics, there's no audience. No audience, no economics. And so if we were somehow funded by, you know, the government, I think, you know, we would probably be in theaters, and we'd probably have a lot of, you know what I'm saying. I mean, this is strictly an independent film, and has good intentions of solving a very complicated problem. Again, that's not just a problem for Obama.
Wait. What's the problem? What's the
problem
complicated?
Is, like, again, how religion is used in a presidential election process. And when you look at these two examples, Obama in 2008, Romney in 2008, Romney in 2012.
Yeah.
And then you start looking back into history, and you see how badly Americans have behaved in the presidential election process, and how religion was used, again,
or abused,
sadly, used in these processes. Again, looking back in history, it's hard to say, you know, like, it's hard to put ourselves in their shoes. But again, I think that is the biggest problem I'm concerned about at this point.
The question, of course, while there's not a religious test in the Constitution, in fact, it's prohibited. Kirk Jowers, you mentioned that in the film yourself. I guess the question, Kirk, let me put this to you, and Matthew Bowman, I wanted to get to you as well. Is there a religious test in American life? By voters, do they have a religious test that they apply?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a practical test that everyone will apply to every candidate. Are they married? Do they have children? Are they of a religion you can relate to? And you can't stop people from having their own beliefs of who best represents them and who best represents their country and community. And so that's a very different test than the constitutional test, which would be that the government could simply say, no, we don't allow Mormons or Muslims or some other group to run. Of course, everyone can run, but each individual is going to make their own decision of what the test is.
Matthew Bowman, what do you think? How were because the question comes up in the film, how much do Americans really think about religion when they think about voting for a particular candidate? I mean, it comes up with Mitt Romney, I suppose. It comes up for certain candidates, I guess. But do we generally think about that when we're voting?
Yeah, I think we do. And we don't necessarily think in terms of denomination, but we think in terms of values. And there is, I think, an association between certain religions and certain types of political values. And for a long time, more or less, the notion in America was that Protestants were the people whose religion allowed them to hold certain political values, like independence, for instance. You couldn't trust Catholics. You couldn't trust Mormons in the 19th century because Mormons and Catholics belonged to a religion in which a priestly hierarchy told them what to do, and that made them suspect. That is why people were afraid of voting for Alfred Smith and John F. Kennedy in the 20th century. And I think that's behind a lot of the fear that circulated around Romney as well.
I guess the question is, it's raised by an anthropologist who appears in the film, a man by the name of Damon Smith, this question of prejudice. I want to play this because I want to discuss this comment. Here's Damon Smith. He's, again, an anthropologist in the film The Religious Test.
For the most part, it's because Mormons put up with it. Mormons, rather than putting up a fight, they put out an ad that says, I'm a Mormon. All that does is make it all the easier to mock and to do a kind of soft prejudice against them. You hear people saying things about Mormons that if you just substitute a Jew or Catholic or even a Muslim, most people would be horrified by the kinds of things that they'd say.
Trevor, what does he mean that he says Mormons put up with it? What does he mean by that?
I'm not exactly sure, to be honest, but I think if I were to, I mean, I think if I were to say, I think that Mormons are.
Seems like he's saying we're not, he seems like you're saying we're not, I'm not sure if he's Mormon, but he seems to be saying we're not aggressive or they're not aggressive enough at challenging these stereotypes and these ideas. They put out these soft, I am a Mormon ads, and they don't really take on directly or in an aggressive way. It seems like what he's getting at.
I think it depends. I think if you're talking about they being the church, yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I don't think they have a confrontational attitude towards addressing, you know, the church, and the members, for the most part, feel themselves as extremely loyal to this country and extremely integrated in society. And I don't think we feel different in our theological beliefs, sure, but I don't think we see that in conflict with society or in conflict certainly in any way with the government. So when we hear these things, I personally don't know how to respond because I'm like, this doesn't make sense to me. I really truly don't understand why this is being said about us. And so I think that could be this soft sort of response, is we're almost sort of trying to process what's happening and then figure out how to respond. However, now you look at the blogosphere, and I think that's where this changing is. You are getting this collision of ideas and this conflict that, you know, Mormons are responding
fighting, to like fighting things. Back, sort of?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, you read some of these things and it gets pretty heated. And what it is it's, you know, sort of outrageous comments being made and then, you know, people trying to address them and then arguments really playing out well sometimes and sometimes not very well or productively other.
So Matthew Bowman, it seems like then, so the digital, you know, the digital age, the internet, this is the place where these seems like Mormons are not saying we're not going to rely on our leaders necessarily to fight these battles because they're being too tepid or whatever it might be. And so they're playing out. Are you seeing that on the internet? People being more willing to be defensive or to fight back or challenge some of the ideas?
There are actually two issues here. There are two levels, I should say. The first level is misinformation. And certainly there's a lot of that going around, and I think the church is becoming increasingly aggressive in combating misinformation, mostly through the internet, through the newsroom, and things like that. The second level of conversation, however, is, I think, issues that people raise about Mormonism, things that people say, this makes me uncomfortable about Mormonism, that might in fact be true, like the fact that the Mormons do in fact claim that they have a prophet who gives them direction from God. Other people find that uncomfortable. And Mormons can't really fight back against that because they do have a prophet. The thing you have to do then is to explain why it is that the fact that Mormons have a prophet does not necessarily mean that if Romney becomes president, Thomas Monson will call him up and tell him what bills he should veto. And that's a much more difficult conversation to have. It's also, I think, the conversation that we should be having in the media. In 2008, this didn't really happen. And for several months at the beginning of this campaign, this didn't really happen because everybody was fixated on things like magic underwear and the like. But I think more recently, the media has. I can think of several reporters in particular who have been digging into these real, I think, substantive and valid conversations that we should have. I should say I don't think it is true that because Mormons have a prophet, Mitt Romney would not be a trustworthy president. I don't think that's the case, but I think it's a case that has to be made.
Kurt Jowers, what does Mitt Romney's campaign make of these kinds of conversations? Matthew Bowman saying that there should be this conversation. I expect they don't exactly want that, at least for their own interests, right?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of things going on. On your first question of this kind of segment about the tepid response or the non-aggressive response, I think Lawrence O'Donnell, who said what many Mormons found very offensive about Mormons, and he was interviewed on, I believe, Hugh Hewitt's radio show, and he said, look, if I would have said those things about Muslims, I may not make it out to my car, but what are Mormons going to do, give me a strudel? And so that kind of sums up the the impression that you can hit Mormons.
And they'll take it.
And they'll take it, and they'll bring you a strudel and try and make things right. So that's probably that vein. As far as the Romney camp, I think any Mormon candidate, and so Romney in this case, has a couple of difficult things. One, in this race, especially 2012, getting through the primary, whenever Romney was able to stay on message and talk about the economy, the deficit, his numbers went up everywhere. He would get big leads on everyone. Anytime he talked about anything else, whether that's foreign policy or religion or otherwise, he would stay the same or potentially drop. He had a sweet spot based on his background and expertise. So a lot of that then is just simply stay on message. You are the turnaround candidate, the economy candidate, not the Mormon or the Middle East expert candidate. You are who you are. So that's part of it. I think the other part that it's always difficult for Mormons and probably a lot of religions are there are a lot of things in the Mormon faith that some people would find strange or disturbing or at least incomprehensible, which is true with any religion. But Mormons can talk about them. But then there are some things that are considered sacred because of being in the temple. And they may not be that weird at all, but the fact that you can't talk about them triggers this thought of, wow, you just told me about that, and that seemed really strange, what a 14-year-old boy saw and things like that, and a modern-day prophet, but you can't tell us what happens there. That must really be strange. Of course, Mormons know that's the least of the weird stuff. But it puts this strange force on an individual of, if I start talking, how do I stop?
Let me ask you, before we head to a break, quickly, we know that, and this is brought up in the film, a Gallup poll conducted, I think it was 1967, suggested 17-18% said they would not vote for a Mormon for office. It sort of boosted up to 21% in the modern era, suggesting the same thing, that they wouldn't. Do we have any idea whether or not Mitt Romney has moved that mark at all right now?
I don't know for sure. My guess is that the mark has moved. Republicans would now be more willing to vote for a Mormon because it's a very definite choice. It's Romney versus Obama, and so you'll take the Mormon. The lesser of two evils, as we've heard over the weekend, some interviews with some evangelicals. But it may have increased with Democrats because, again, they may not have cared whether they voted for a Mormon before, but now it's Romney versus Obama. So I think right now it's a very difficult poll to take and have any faith in what it means for the Mormon faith because it's much more about Romney than it is about Mormonism now, just as it was much more about Mormonism than Romney in early 2007.
It's Kirk Jowers. He's the director of the University of Utah's Hinckley Institute of Politics. We have Matthew Bowman with us, a visiting assistant professor of religion at Hampton-Sydney College, the author of the book The Mormon People, The Making of an American Faith. And we have Trevor Hill with us as well. He's the filmmaker, the director and producer of the film The Religious Test. We need to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER and Sirius XM Public Radio. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're live at the caucus room at the Hinckley Institute of Politics, the University of Utah campus, talking about the probably overused term, the Mormon moment. One in five Americans say they wouldn't support a Mormon presidential candidate, and a documentary film called The Religious Test explores the issues that inform that bias and the other impressions of the faith. You can join us by going to our email address, radiowest@kuer.org, to ask questions. We also invite those of you here, if you have questions, to join us. So I guess the question that comes up. I want to play another moment from the film. This is the pastor, Greg Johnson, Trevor, that you spoke with. And the question of whether the faith is relevant and how much you talk about it seems like, you know, Americans on one hand want to be reassured that you're not going to talk too much about your, that you're not too religious, but they want to know that you are in some way. And Greg Johnson raises the question of whether or not Mitt Romney is avoiding the question, if he should address it or he shouldn't. Here's Pastor Greg Johnson from the film The Religious Test.
If he ducks and covers and says, you know, I'm not running for pastor-in-chief, I'm running for commander-in-chief. Well, that sits well. That you can hear that and say that makes sense. But if the guy avoids religious questions or just seems uncomfortable talking about that, then I think he looks, you know, what are you hiding? What are you not willing to let us know about you? And America wants to know their president. They want to have a sense of they know this guy. And one thing.
So, Matthew Bowen, let me go to you with this question. How does Mitt Romney find that balance at all? And is that too much to ask of one person? Be religious, but don't be too religious.
Sure. You know, it's not something that he can do all by himself. He is coming onto the scene after Mormonism has been around for 180 years. And so he's carrying around all of the baggage of this long history of this faith and its relationship to the American government. You know, it is a tight needle to thread because on the one hand, Americans do expect their president to be religious in some sense. There is a civic religion in this country. Every president ends every talk they give with God bless America, and people want to know that this president actually means that. And Mormonism itself, of course, Mormons believe that they fit into this civic religion. And there's a lot of theology and a lot of history that lends credence to that. But on the other hand, there's also a lot of theology and history that have led in the past to Mormon separatism. And so what Romney's trying to do is to express those areas of his own faith and his own faith's history that do fall into line with this general sense that America is a providential country, this general sense that Americans rely on God for their rights, those sorts of things, while leaving out or not talking about all of the things that have in the past led Mormonism into conflict.
Trevor Hill, what do you make of what were you hearing from people when you were asking them, should Mitt Romney say something? How much should he say? What should he say? It seems like you got all kinds of different responses to that.
Right. I think a lot of the people that we interviewed with were not political experts per se. So I think overwhelmingly everyone wants to hear Mitt Romney's addresses.
Yeah.
I feel the same way as a Mormon. Again, the film being much more interested in the humanity of the election process rather than Mitt's success.
Yep. So you say take strategy and aside.
Right. I think
so wait, as a Mormon then, what do you want to hear him say?
Well, again, I think as I've learned more, I've maybe started to change my view on that and think that, well, how could he?
It's impossible.
Is that his problem? Is that his – is it
– Is it his to do?
Is it his to do because no one else will do it? Who else is doing it? You know, who else is going out there and talking about their faith in detail and depth, and why is he the only one that
– And is that fair?
Exactly.
And is he the guy to do it, I guess? That's another question
the other
film
issue
raises.
That I became – again, I didn't know a lot. So like as I've learned, it's definitely not his role to do that. I think it's actually more appropriate that he doesn't. And so now we're left with that, then who is? And so we've got a bunch of, you know, Mormon academics and Matthew Bowman, exactly one of them, starting to publish great articles. But again, where do Mormons go and where do non-Mormons go to find good information? And information that is, again, constructive versus sort of like, you know, attack, you know. And so that's, again, why we did this.
Kirk Jarvis, is it possible for you to put aside the political strategy part of it? What do you think as a Mormon you would want to hear from Mitt Romney? Or can you – I don't know if you can detach that part of yourself, but – what do you make of the question, you know, what he's supposed to be saying as a Mormon?
It is a tough issue. I mean, from the time he started running, even if you go back to 1994 when he first ran against Ted Kennedy, I mean, Kennedy in Massachusetts, And Ted Kennedy's been a good friend of the Mormon Church. He and Hatch work together. We can say that now that Hatch is through the primary. They work together. Kennedy would come and speak to Mormon missionaries in Faneuil Hall. But in 1994, Mitt showed up with a 7-point lead against Ted Kennedy. And Kennedy gave Romney and everyone else a real lesson in campaigning. And he used the Mormon Church and some other things, some Bain things, which have been resurrected by Obama, to take Romney down in 1994. In 2002, when Mitt was running for governor, he was called in to one of the editors, or he spoke to one of the editors of the newspapers, and they said, "We felt really bad about how we handled the Mormon Church in 1994, that will not happen again." And indeed, it didn't. Religion was mostly a non-issue there. So when you move to president, though, of course, everything changes. There are single biggest celebrity. We need to know a lot about them. There's 24/7 coverage of everything about them. And Mormonism has always been an interesting thing for the electorate, Republicans first and now everyone. And I think you've seen Romney evolve in it, where he didn't talk a lot about it, but he gave that speech in 2007 to make sure that everyone knew he was not distancing himself from his church. And we saw in this convention in 2012, he had members who had been part of his church leadership with him, some of his parishioners, who did talk about that to maybe humanize his religion and himself a little bit more.
I want to play another moment from the film. This is the Mormon scholar Joanna Brooks. Because that 2007 speech that Mitt Romney gave comes up in the film. Trevor Hill, you talk about it in the film, and you hear from people on one hand who say it was just right. It was exactly the tone he should have set. Joanna Brooks doesn't quite feel that way. Here's another moment from the film, The Religious Test.
I mean, his speech about Mormonism in 2007... is a textbook case in saying as little as possible. When America is screaming for him to say, "Will you please explain this polygamy thing to us? You say you're not polygamous, but what are these guys in the desert? Will you please explain the race thing to us?" So much weight was falling on his shoulders in that rhetorical moment, so much expectation that he would magically speak to thorny problems that even Mormons don't like to talk about amongst ourselves.
Matthew Bowman, wouldn't he have been screwed if he would have talked about any of those things that Joanna Brooks mentioned?
You know, I think Joanna's right that he was in a really, really tight spot there. I think in part it is unfair to ask him to talk about polygamy or the priesthood ban or any of these things. I thought actually that the speech was really fair to what I imagine his experience as a Mormon to be. You know, most Mormons think about their religion as something they do, not a set of intellectual propositions that they line up and form a theology about. But religion is simply going to church on Sunday. It's doing the things that you're asked to do in your particular congregation. It's trying to help out your neighbors. And those were the kinds of things that Romney talked about. He said in that speech, all sorts of religions in America, Protestants, Catholics, Jews, he even brought in Muslims, and implicitly Mormons as well, can agree that it's a good thing to serve your neighbor. Now, that doesn't satisfy a lot of people who do want him to speak to these odd theological questions, but I think it really does reflect the lived experience that he, as a Mormon, who I imagine is not a terribly scholarly or reflective Mormon about his faith, probably lives every day.
Here's another moment from the film. This is Christine Hagland. She's the editor of the magazine or journal Dialogue. And her perspective, Trevor Hill, I want to play this and have you talk about it, because I think it's interesting, because her sense of this is really, I found, original in some ways. Let's talk. This is Christine Hagland from the film The Religious Test.
My sense is that actually the way he's handling his Mormonism is utterly authentic. I don't think he's dodging questions at all. I think that what animates him about Mormonism is how well it works, that it is practically a good way to live, that it teaches people kindness, that it gives people opportunities to interact with people who are different from them and serve them and help them, and that it produces social goods of, you know, various sorts, and that it leads to wholesome family living.
So talk about that, if you would, because that's an interesting perspective. Her idea is that, look, and Matthew Bowman makes this case too in the film, and we can talk about that more, but Mormons aren't interested in all this. I think some may dispute this fact, by the way, but what Matthew Bowman says, and what I think some people are saying, is Mormons, that's not the thing they always talk about, is this deep doctrinal stuff. They're just trying to get to church on Sunday or whatever it is.
Well, that's one of the interesting things about this film and the filmmaking process, is that I can really appreciate both perspectives, the way that Joanna approaches this, and I really enjoy the depth in which she, you know, challenges this particular scenario. And I agree with her in a lot of sense that these are, you know, especially when you look at not the deeper theological, but especially in the sense that, you know, she also talks a lot about how Proposition 8 does make a lot of these Mormon arguments extremely valid to talk about, and also difficult for Mormons to reconcile. Right. And so, again, being interested, more interested in how Mormons are responding versus how it affects the presidential election, she's fantastic. She challenged me, and she challenged the Mormon community quite a bit in a positive way. Now, Christine, in that statement, really captures, I think, my experience as a Mormon and what I perceive as just basically the social strength and the social norms that we experience when we commune at church, right? It's sort of like this family of people and this love of all children and a desire to serve. And so when we talk about Mitt and his Mormonism, it is true. We don't dwell extensively amongst ourselves in theological debate. We talk about how we can serve one another, how we can serve society really at large. So I absolutely love the way she encapsulated that.
But Matthew Bowman, it's interesting because you make this point. You say Mormons are not interested in doctrinal debates, but it seems like, isn't it the essence of the Mormon missionary message, this idea that this group of this Jewish family crossed the sea and created their own document, and Jesus Christ came to the Americas, and that there is this idea of eternal progression? I mean, a lot of the stuff that freaks some people out, quite frankly, isn't that the essence of what it is to be a Mormon in some ways? I mean, how do you explain that, if you would? There seems like there's a contradiction there in some way.
Sure. I think there are a set of theological propositions that Mormons buy into, those being among them. But once they buy into them, I think that Mormon Sunday schools don't sit around and debate the exact nature of eternal progression. And I think actually if you push Mormons a little bit, you'll find a lot of different ideas about precisely what eternal progression means. I think the same is true for questions of, say, why the priesthood ban existed or the eternal nature of polygamy. All of these things, I think there's a variety of perspectives that Mormons tend to arrive at on their own. You might call it like do-it-yourself Mormonism. And what brings wards together and what makes congregations function is people generally say, well, the important thing is that you show up to church and that you do what you're asked to do. This is, I think, very well demonstrated in Mormon Sunday schools, which are not really about scripture and are not really about theological questions, but are, in fact, discussions about how we can live our lives better. That, I think, is what drives, that's the engine that drives every single congregation. And I think many, many, many Mormons have very little interest in reflecting about the differences of the theology of Orson Pratt and Brigham Young, though some people do. Now, this isn't to say, because I think it's actually true, that there are, in fact, certain questions, the priesthood ban, I think, being maybe the most relevant one today, that desperately cry out for nuanced conversation. These things should happen, I think. It's simply that the lived experience of your average Mormon ward is not the place where they do.
Kirk Jarvis, anything to say about that?
There's a lot of truth to that. I mean, it varies. When I was going to, you know, the Mormon ward in Cambridge, Massachusetts, it was a doctrinal battle every single Sunday. I mean, you could not get away, and we were going to talk about everything into the most minute detail, very aggressively. Whether in Bountiful, Utah, that happens as much as is probably a legitimate question. But so I don't think universally that's true. But the overall point that I think a lot of what the religion is how can we take care of each other? How can we take care of our community and things like that? Does seem to dominate the reason for being there? How to become closer to Jesus Christ?
It seems like that's what Mitt Romney was trying to sort of touch on at the Republican National Convention in those videos as well. Just sort of get up to that point, but not go much further. Is that right?
Exactly, right. To show that, you've asked about what I do as a church leader, as a church member. Here's what I did. Here are a few stories. And I thought it captured it pretty well.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, I think, we interviewed Richard Mao of president of Fuller Theological Seminary, and also Greg Johnson, also Evangelicals for Mitt, and they all addressed this point really well in the sense that Mormons, though theologically different, sort of celebrate that difference. They don't, they're very comfortable in their theological placement, and they don't see themselves in competition. Whereas you see evangelicals are sort of indoctrined from a young age to combat specifically with Mormonism, and then Richard Mao will deconstruct these arguments, say yes, there is a theological differences, but how does that break down to how we interface with society or the body politic? So I think that, at least from their perspective, they gave some good insight to saying, like, look, we can have these differences and we should, have dialogues and debate these things out. However, how does it really, when the feet hit the ground, how does it affect, a political election? That is a completely different issue.
Let me play one more clip from the film, The Religious Test. This is a gentleman by the name of Daniel Tutt.
I think the record was set straight very clearly by Colin Powell. When he was on Meet the Press during the elections right before them, McCain versus Obama in 2008, he was asked, what do you think about President or then Senator Obama perhaps being a Muslim? And his response was brilliant. He said, so what if he was? I think that's where we need to be, is that faith and running for office become a so what if he was, so what if she was, right? It's not, it's not the same issue. Again, going back to the founding fathers, they had a great respect, right, for faith, not based on any one religion, not trying to further Christianity per se, but purely from the standpoint that faith is an inherent good, social good, for the furthering of moral and upright citizens.
Matthew Bowman, we're pretty much out of time, but I wanted to get all of you, in fact, to respond. Matthew Bowman, let me start with you, because you expressed some skepticism about that idea, whether or not, in fact, prejudice can be helped. People can say, well, so what if he is? Mm-hmm. What do you think, finally?
Yeah, I think that's a nice idea, but I think it kind of elides the fact that religions in America generally tend to believe wildly different things about society and how society should function. This is the problem of pluralism, and it's a problem that's not going to go away. It's one that I think we're going to have to keep on arguing about with no expectation that the argument will ever end.
Kirk Jarvis, what do you think?
Hey, when I listened to that, I thought back, one of my proudest moments as a father when my son was maybe 12 years old back in the 2008 race, and there was that firestorm that Obama was a Muslim, and so that was on CNN nonstop for a couple of days, and my son was watching that, and he just kind of looked at me with that great naivete that I wish we all had, which was, why does that even matter? We'd still, I'd still vote for him. And I said, of course you would. That makes no difference. But of course, that's not the way a lot of people feel. They do interpret a lot into a person's worth and ability to serve based on religion and all sorts of other factors that shouldn't matter. And I think America's greatness is that we continue to break down those barriers and those constructs, and this Mormon moment, I guess, is a part of that.
Trevor Hill, final word.
Same thing. I actually agree with Daniel personally, but I understand that my personal belief doesn't make a difference. So what I think the important question he asks is, so what if he is? So what if she is? I think that is the question, and that is the reason this film is not a solution. It's a dialogue starter, and we need to talk about that. We need to talk about that question, And if we can, and if this film can enliven that discussion, that then we've succeeded in our goal.
Trevor Hill, producer, director of the documentary film The Religious Test. Kirk Jowers is the director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics here at the University of Utah. Matthew Bowman, visiting professor of religion at Hampton-Sydney College, the author of the book The Mormon People, The Making of American Faith. Thank you all very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Radio West is a production of KUER News. Our thanks to the staff at the Hinckley Institute, also to Taylor Almond. The show was engineered by our engineer, Lewis Downey. Technical direction from Mike Anderson. The program produced by Elaine Clark and Benjamin Bombard. I'm Doug Fabrizio.